You have your copy of God's Word, be finding your way to the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. This past week was Thanksgiving, and I'm just wondering if anybody played any games this past week. Did you play any games this past week? Maybe you traveled somewhere along the way and you played I Spy 100 times. Maybe you played the game Pictionary. We played the game Whack-A-Mole a lot this past week. We played a little bit of trivia games. Anybody play the game Balderdash? Anybody play that game? Has anybody ever played that game? Just want to kind of know the competition I got out there. I want to know who I'm working with this morning. I want us to play a game as we begin in Isaiah chapter 9. You tell me what this is. As far as we know, every person who has ever been born or lived on this planet has been given one. And every person alive, every person in this room has one. What is it? In fact, it is the first thing that we're given when we're born, and we are to record it before we even leave the hospital. What is it? Ah, a name. A soul was a good guess. A name. A name. Have you ever wondered why your parents gave you the name they did? Were you named after a family member? Or were you named after family tradition? As in the case with my wife, all the family, all the children begin with the letter K. Do you carry a name of a contemporary modern name? Have you ever thought about how important names truly are? Some people would say the most important thing about you is your name. If you just think about it for a moment, you need a name for a birth certificate. You need a name for a driver's license. You need a name for a credit card. You need a name to get a J-O-B. You need a name to buy a house. I read this past week 25 funniest names with the people who have the funniest names ever. Here it is, just a few of them that I thought was fitting. I'm not making these up. You can Google these later if you like. 25 people with the funniest names ever. Here's just a few. Jedi Knight. Batman Superman. Number 3 was Jurassic Park. These are real names. Number 4 was Bud Light. How would you like to walk around calling yourself that all your life? I like this one. Number 5 was McDonald Burger. It's a real name. Pterodactyl was a name. And my favorite, Dill Pickle, Brother Mark, was a real name. Mr. Dill Pickle. Regardless of what your name is, the way names are used to address other people is very, very revealing. Of all the things about God who created this world, which is absolutely astounding, we serve a God who revealed His name to us. Today we're beginning a series called He Shall Be Called. And you're there in Isaiah chapter 9. And in this passage we find four names of Christ given through prophecy that really shows us the character of our God and how He wants to lead us. So over the next few weeks we're going to be looking at these four names. 700 years before Christ was ever born, the prophet explained Christmas before anyone had ever experienced Christmas. 7 centuries before the star was shining and the cradle was rocking and the wise men were giving, the angels were singing, God revealed to Isaiah exactly what this baby that was to be born in Bethlehem was to be called. Isaiah dipped his pen in that prophetic pen into inspired ink, and he wrote what would become the centerpiece in the cornerstone of Christmas prophecy. Perhaps some of the greatest names of Jesus are found in this chapter and in this verse of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. The first of those names that we're going to be looking at today is Wonderful Counselor. And I want to call your attention, before we can get to Wonderful Counselor, to several truths about the Wonderful Counselor. So would you please rise out of reverence, a fable for the reading of God's Word. Let's look at this one verse together, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. The Word of God says this: "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." Let's bow together. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray you would speak to me and through me. You would meet the needs of your beautiful people. I pray I'd be faithful, accurate, passionate, humble to your word this morning. Give me the physical energy and the spiritual strength to preach your word. May it be the overflow of my heart today, Father. May it be the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable unto your sight. O Lord, my God, my rock, my Redeemer's name, I pray. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Isaiah begins with saying, "For unto us a child is born." The very first truth I want you to note in our time together this morning is this simple fact: we can resonate with the humanity of Jesus. We resonate with the humanity of Jesus. There are two operative words that we're going to be looking at this morning. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Two operative words: child and born. Isaiah tells us he was a child, just like at one time every one of us was a child. In other words, Jesus was a human being. There is one thing that he had that every person on this planet must have in order to get on this planet, and that is a mother. To say that Jesus was God, as we will in just a moment, we believe that to absolutely be 100% true, is really half the story as well. You see, this baby was born in Bethlehem. He was God who became a human with flesh. He robed himself with flesh and blood and bones and veins and arteries, just like you and me. Furthermore, he was born. He was not dropped from a heavenly helicopter, dear friends. He was not beamed down a la Star Wars from heaven above. He was conceived. He was born. He had an ethnicity about him. He was Jewish. He had relatives. We spent the last few months looking at his half-brother, James. He had brothers and sisters. He had feelings. He got angry, but he sinned not. He was hungry. He became thirsty. He grew tired. He felt pain. He slept. Glory to God. He slept, Noah. He walked. He talked just like us. And dear friends, he even died. When Isaiah talks about this child that was born, though he didn't realize it, he was looking ahead 700 years to a cradle, to a stable, to a manger, to shepherds, to angels, to a birthplace at Bethlehem. Now understand, Jesus never ceased to be God. He was no less God after he was born than he was before he was born. But he had to become a human. He was not a semi-God or semi-man. He was fully God and fully man. He was given by the Heavenly Father. He was born to an earthly mother. I'll admit to you, this is a complete mystery. It is marvelous. It is magnificent. It is majestic. It is a mystery. But it is a mystery, not a myth. We may not fully understand it all, but I submit to everybody in this room, we should believe it all. Here is the point. This baby, God in flesh, became like us. When you are rejected for doing what is right, he gets it. when you are betrayed and sold down the river by people that you love and trust, he gets it. When you are crushed by the death of someone you love, he gets it. No matter what you're going through this morning, he knows exactly how you feel. When we can have a relationship with this unbelievable God who came to be just like us, I submit to you, we can resonate with his humanity. For unto us a child is born. But look what it says next. Same chapter, same verse. Our second movement we see is this. And unto us a son is given. And unto us a son is given. Secondly, what I want you to note is we should relish in the deity of Jesus. Now, that is not just saying the same thing in a different way. I want you to catch this. Isaiah is not just saying the same thing in a different way. They are just not repeating the same thought. He's actually telling us two separate, different things. A child is born speaks to the humanity of Jesus, but a son is given to the deity of Jesus, our wonderful counselor. As a child, he was born. As a son, he was given. Jesus is the gift who is the giver. What many would call the greatest verse in the entire Bible, what verse do you think that may be? John 3:16. Look at John 3:16 together. Let's say it together. You ready? One, two, three. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Some of you still working off that turkey, but that's true right there, all right? That is 100% true. Jesus is the greatest giver of all time. Remember, there are always two sides to the coin of Christmas. Heads is the baby who was born in Bethlehem, who is just like us. Tail side is the baby who is God. He's not like us. This is so important. This is so important for us to understand. Jesus had his birth in Bethlehem, but he did not have his beginning in Bethlehem. He was the Son of God before there was ever became a child of Mary. He was the Son of God. He is the only baby who was ever born who was older, as old as his father and older than his mother. There never was a time when Jesus was not there. Never was a time when Jesus was not God. He is not like us. Jesus has always existed, both before he was born and after he was born. Am I telling you the truth this morning? I'm just preaching the book. The only Christmas gift God has ever given to the world was divinely human, divinity wrapped up in the package of humanity. Truly, the giver was the gift, and the gift was the giver. The giver was God, and the gift was God. God himself in the person of his son. Did you catch all that? You're going to have to listen to the tape again, all right? So in these two simple places, you have two tremendous truths, Miss Sybil. A child is born. Jesus is human. And a son that was given, Jesus is God. You have his humanity and you have his deity. He was at the same time both Son of Man and Son of God. He was the eternal being who had the earthly beginning. As a child, he was born to live with us in humanity. As a son, he was given to die for us in his divinity. This is what makes Jesus so unbelievably awesome and unique. We can resonate with him in his humanity. He was just like us, but we can relish in his deity because he was not like us. And we thank God that he was not like us, because if he had been just a man, he could have never been a savior. He could not have died for our sins. He could have not come back from the grave. We couldn't have sang that wonderful song we sang just a few moments ago, in Christ alone. And we would be helpless in this life without Christ being fully God and fully man. He left heaven as God to come to earth as a human so that we could live earth and spend eternity with God in heaven. There was a time when Jesus was not a man. There was never a time when Jesus was not God. But there will be a time that he is not, that there will never be a time where he is not the God-man. That is why we should rejoice in the divinity, in the deity of Jesus. Let me give you this, lastly, did you hear that? Lastly. It's a long point. We must respond to the authority of Jesus. See, we see his humanity, we see his divinity, he is the God-man. But because he's the God-man, we must respond to his authority. And he is the wonderful counselor, the one with all authority. Look what the text says. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. See, Isaiah adds this, and the government will be on his shoulders. This child was born. This son that was given is also a king that rules. He just doesn't come to redeem us. He comes to reign over us. His government is unlike any other government that has ever been or will ever be. Isaiah goes on to say in verse 7, of the increase of his government and the peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with justice and judgment and justice from that time forward and forever. The zeal of the Lord of the hosts will perform this. There will never be an end to his government. There will never be a revolution against his government. There will never be a rebellion against his government. There will never be a rejection of his government. He is the government. There will not be a need for a legislative branch because he is the lawgiver. We won't need a judicial branch because he is the judge. We won't need an executive branch because he, dear friends, is the king. You do not vote him into office. I'm here to tell you, you're never going to vote him into office, and no one is ever going to impeach him. When he comes back as the king, he's not coming back to take sides, dear friends. He is coming to take over. You see, one day, that little child who left heaven, he came down the stairway of stars and he came to earth, and he's going to come back one day from heaven, but it'll be a little bit different. See, one time he came to a cradle. The next time he's coming with a crown. The first time he came to be laid in a manger. The next time he comes, he will sit on a throne, and that is what every star and every constellation and every galaxy and every angel and every person who has ever truly received Christ this Christmas as Christ as Lord, they will all sing, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let all the angels prostrate and fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and we'll crown him Lord of all. Ooh, if I had my hanky, I'm telling you right. Come on. Someone has well said he won't be riding back on the Republican elephant or the Democratic donkey. Some of y'all getting nervous right now. His government, his authority, his rule will be over everybody. There will only be one party, and it will be the Jesus party. I'm here to tell you. His name will be the only one on the ballot. God is king. He is the ruler of all. He is the president. He is the only cabinet in heaven. And it is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and he is the source of all authority. Look what Zechariah, the prophet Zechariah, put it in this way. Blow the dust off of prophet Zechariah, and you'll find these words, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. And in that day shall be the Lord is one, and his name one. Here's the point. Right now, the greatest leader of all kings, the Prince of Peace, is the Wonderful Counselor. And he's come to lead and rule and guide your life. Church family, listen to me. I want you to look real closely. God has given us the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God has given us the Wonderful Counselor to help you make decisions of life. The name Wonderful Counselor is actually one Hebrew word. It denotes one name within itself. A wonder is used of a miracle. It spoke of something marvelous, mysterious, miraculous. Thus, this Hebrew connotation of God was used to denote the miraculous counsel was given by God in God alone. It speaks to his authority as Wonderful Counselor. The name which Isaiah uses right here to describe him not only speaks of his authority, but I want you to know it also speaks to his ability. When the gospel is preached, when we stand up here and we proclaim the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, when the gospel is preached and the word of God is presented, people are attracted. It has nothing to do with the dynamics. It has nothing to do with the delivery, Tom. It has nothing to do with the disposition of any preacher, but it has everything to do with this wonderful fact: the Wonderful Counselor has the ability to attract people to himself. In fact, Jesus, if you're taking notes, just jot this down. In John chapter 12, verse 32, he says this: "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." See, theologians sought his wisdom. Sin-sick souls came to him for counsel. Loved ones came to him because their dead needed help, and he would raise them from the dead. Even his enemies were impressed with his ability to help the helpless. While I may be able to knock on the doors of man's heart, only he can open the door of man's heart. It is only he who has the unique ability to draw all men and women unto himself. He is the magnetic force of God. He is able to attract people. Our text indicates and states that when he comes, the government shall be on his shoulders. While the context of the reference is national, it is also personal. Did you catch that? The government upon his shoulder certainly has a national reference, but it's also personal. While the prophet is speaking of public life, he's also speaking to your private life. That's the Wonderful Counselor. He's able to handle the government of this world, but church family, he can also handle the government of your lives. Our lives are filled with problems. Our lives are filled with predicaments. Oh, you've heard just a few this morning in our offertory prayer. And many people will write, "Dear Abby, read self-help books, go to non-Christian psychiatric help, and talk to everyone they know except for the Wonderful Counselor who to handle their problems." We can place the government of our lives upon his shoulders, because he shall be called Wonderful Counselor.